Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
Probably like ours, it goes by too quickly.
That it did.
I think most people's weekends go by way too quickly.
They always do.
I know, it's a bummer.
Well, speaking of going by too quickly.
Let's
get into the show. First off, we have Twitter followers.
Yay!
So, let's go. There's V. Heleno Henzo, Lily von Stoop, No New Messages. That's an interesting handle.
That's an interesting one, yeah.
Shell.
I like that one.
Yeah. Dutchman. Gautam Trivedi. Sorry about your name.
Yeah, you probably butchered it.
Yeah. Sam Stowers. MJ Shepherd. Destin Lee Johnson. Ian. Just Ian.
Sweet. Short and sweet.
Yeah. 2016 Atheist. Huh. Atheist Girl and Hugo Rune.
Sweet. We have followers.
And if you want to follow us on Twitter.
Really?
Look us up at Secular Yakking and you can get your name read on air too.
Oh, it'll so make your day.
It will.
Yeah, sure.
We also were guests on another podcast this week.
Yes. Yes, we were.
Yeah, we went on Atheism 101, which is one of our partners in the Secular Outreach Network, which you can find out more about them at their website, atheism101podcast.com or secularoutreach.com. And not to brag, but we did pretty good on the Babel trivia.
Yeah, better than I expected.
Yeah. The show should air on the 28th.
Which is Thursday, correct?
Thursday. Yes. So, you ready?
I am indeed.
First, we're going to get into some legislation, because you know I love legislation.
Yes, of course.
West Virginia House Bill 4225 was introduced on Friday. I'm going to just run right into it because it's really cool.
Okay, if you say so. Yeah.
The legislature finds and declares that the national motto of In God We Trust is an important part of our country's history and heritage.
Okay.
Okay, what do you think of that?
When? How?
Okay. Additionally, the POW/MIA flag is a symbol of citizen concern for U.S. military personnel taken as prisoners of war or listed as missing in action.
So wait, they're combining the two? Well, that's crap.
Let's go on a little
more.
These patriotic displays enhance our national pride and awareness both of the sacrifices made by service members and our heritage as Americans.
Huh. Wait, both of them?
Yeah, so they've thrown them both together in the same bill, and here's why. The governing authority of any public property, public building, or any building designed, constructed, and maintained with public funds from the state, a county, or a municipality may prominently display on the property or building the American national motto, In God We Trust. Costs associated with the display of the motto may be paid with any private donations, gifts, grants, and bequests received by the government authority.
Okay, translate.
So what they're saying is, If you as a municipality, state, whatever, government entity,
right,
decide you want to display In God We Trust, you can do it.
And this is what they're trying to get passed?
I have two issues with this bill.
Okay.
First, it's a useless bill. You can already do that.
Okay.
I think it's in retaliation to the lawsuit from Michael Newdow.
Right. They just don't like, being challenged on In God We Trust. But I think it's pretty low and pretty crappy that they're going to tie it to the POWs.
That was my second issue. Politics, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
So
those are two totally separate issues.
So what's going to happen? There's going to be someone says, hey, you shouldn't pass this. It's either a useless bill or, something like that, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're going to say, well, why do you hate POWs?
That's what I'm saying. That's the crap part of it.
Right.
I mean, the way you feel about veterans and the way you feel about In God We Trust are two completely different things.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, and it's pretty nasty and actually very cheap of them to combine the two together. It's, you know, to me, I just hear whining again.
Yeah, they're so this has got to be in retaliation to everything that's going on with In God We Trust.
Yeah, they're just drawing straws right now.
Yeah, they're it's the death throes.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. They know they're going to lose this battle, and they will lose this battle eventually. And they're going to take every action they possibly can to avoid that.
Yeah, that's why, you know, you're seeing more and more nasty stuff, too.
Yeah.
They're starting to cry.
Yeah. Talk about crying.
Okay.
Kansas lawmaker imposes dress code on female witnesses.
Wait, what?
Yeah. A Senate committee chairman imposed a dress code on Kansans testifying on elections or ethic bills that explicitly prohibit women from wearing skimpy skirts or blouses with plunging necklines while establishing no wardrobe restrictions exclusively for men.
Bullshit. Oh, can I say that?
Barely, yes.
Oh, that's crap.
Yeah. A Senate committee chairman imposed a dress code on Kansas testifying on elections and ethics bills explicitly... Why am I doing that again? Anyway, so...
Skip that part.
Please. Yeah, for ladies, the rule says low-cut necklines and mini skirts are inappropriate. There are no rules for men. Not one.
That's total BS. I mean, so a guy can show up in shorts and flip-flops and all's good.
Right. So the written set of guidelines didn't denote a minimum skirt length or didn't set a maximum depth of cut for blouses. So it's up to his discretion.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This sounds like somebody just doesn't like something. And so they're putting, you know, their feelings on it.
Yeah. He says it's one of those things that's hard to define. Put it out there and let people know we're really looking for you to be addressing the issues rather than trying to distract or bring eyes to yourself.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what he said.
This is such BS. I am so sick and tired, you know, given now for myself, I dress appropriate for whatever situation you're in. But who gives a flying crap what someone wears?
Right. If they're coming to testify, right?
I mean, that's why we have our freedom of choices. You can wear what you want, whether, you know, it's in good taste or not, it's another thing. But that has nothing to do with anything.
Well.
And with the neckline thing, who's to say it's too low?
Right.
I mean, you could say a turtleneck is like the limit.
Yeah. Someone could, oh, you're showing your neck. You're no good.
I mean, I remember once upon a time we couldn't show ankles.
Yeah.
You know, that was huge.
Yeah. Ankles. Yeah.
So, I mean, and the fact that there's nothing on the men's attire.
Right. This is
of any kind.
This for me is no different than the Taliban saying wear a burqa.
Oh, there's so much of that.
Yeah, that's the same concept.
There's so much of that. It's like,
my God,
get over your, I don't even know what the word is, you know.
Misogynistic?
Of course that. But no, that's not where I was going. I was saying there's weird fear or something they have of women dressing or show. It's like, okay, it's not us, it's you, because obviously you can't control yourself.
That's my point.
They're
trying to distract? No one's trying to distract. They're wearing what
obviously,
they want to wear.
Obviously, he's the one that's distracted.
And so he has the problem.
Yeah, exactly. That's just ridiculous. I mean, come on, everywhere you go, the office, you know, anywhere, women are wearing short skirts and, you know, blouses of whatever kind. But it's just frustrating to me.
I know.
Ridiculous. Control your own damn self.
Yeah. If I remember right, he said something to the effect that men don't need to know what appropriate attire is.
Oh, so he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the wrong country.
Yeah.
As they always say to us, leave the country!
Yeah.
Hey listeners, this is Paul Sadin, creator of Atheist Apocalypse and The Q Podcast, and you're listening to Secular Yakking. As fellow Washingtonians, you know Robert and Amy are good peeps by default and can be trusted with your heathen baby's soul, even if Amy has an aversion to beer. If you'd like to listen to another sacred cow tipper and an actual person who enjoys the blessing that is Pacific Northwest microbrews, come on over to the Q Podcast at theqpodcast.com. Only use the letter Q, please. If you love truly outlandish news and ever wondered what it would be like if atheists ran the world, check out Atheist Apocalypse at atheistapocalypse.com.
We have some interesting news.
Do we now?
Yeah. Astronomers.
You still can't talk.
Yeah, I never can. Confident that Planet Nine has been found.
Astronomers are confident.
Yes.
That Planet X has been found. We're back to that again?
What?
Planet X?
No, it should be Planet Nine. Planet X, Planet Nine, same thing.
No, I see that different, but fine.
Anyway, solar system may have a new ninth planet. Two scientists announced evidence that a planet-like object nearly the size of Neptune orbits the sun every 15,000 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. During the solar system's infancy, 4.5 billion years ago, they say the giant planet was knocked out from the planet-forming region near the sun. The orbit of the planet is tilted, as well as stretched to distances that will expand all previous conceptions of the solar system.
That's interesting.
Its closest approach to the sun is 7 times further than Neptune. Or about 200 astronomical units.
Right.
So an astronomical unit is the distance between Earth and the sun, 93 million miles.
Right.
And Planet Nine could be as far out as 600 to 1,200 astronomical units.
Wow.
That's a long way out. Which, by the way, puts it past the Kuiper Belt, which is where Pluto sits.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I think I heard about that.
Right.
But Pluto, of course, is no longer a planet, so we're going to replace it with this one.
Here's something interesting, though.
What's that?
The guy that made Pluto not a planet?
Uh-huh.
Same guy that found this.
I think that's actually awesome.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
That's interesting. I mean, well, it's like we were talking with the kids. They're like, how'd they miss a planet? I'm like, well, honey, if you think about it, you know, you're taking, you know, telescope. You're taking a telescope, right? And that's basically like taking a piece of string and pointing it out in space. And you can only see what that string touches, what's on the string. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to miss.
Yeah, well, they still don't have any pictures of this one yet because it's so far out.
Yeah, they said that they haven't seen the planet itself. They've just seen the activity that makes it.
There's a grouping of 6 masses of things.
Right, and they're moving in the form that would suggest that it's a planet.
Right, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, I think. And so now they have, you know, a whole new thing to start focusing on and learning about.
Well, the scientific community isn't completely on board with this yet.
Oh, no?
No, there's about a 1 in 15,000 chance that it is an actual planet.
Oh, really?
But, you know, it's not bad.
Well, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, that's how we find new things in science all the time.
Anyways,
mm-hmm.
we have another science-y type
thing. Science-y? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this time we combined science and fast food.
Okay, because yeah, that's how it should go.
Yeah, science projects, right?
Yeah, okay.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has approved Idaho-based J.R. Simplot Company's new genetically modified potato. But one of the company's oldest business partners, McDonald's, hasn't.
Okay.
The fast food giant says it doesn't use genetically modified potatoes and has no plans to change that policy. Quote, McDonald's USA does not source GMO potatoes, nor do we have current plans to change our sourcing practices. Unquote.
Really?
Yes. So here's,
why, just because everybody has a stigma for a GMO?
Yeah. So okay. here's the biggest problem with this. This potato is healthier.
Of course it is.
It has less sugars.
Uh-huh.
And the DNA has been changed so that there is less acrylamide. Acrylamide. That looks right. Which is suspected to be a carcinogen. Cancer-causing agent.
That's a much better way for you to say it. So it's a safer, healthier potato.
Yes.
And, you know, because it has the letters GMO attached to it, run.
Right.
Just kind of like reminds me of like when you say atheist to anything. Mm-hmm. And it's such a bad word.
Well, and not only that, it is also engineered to resist bruising, so you get a better crop output.
So they just don't want to touch it because it has GMO on it.
So, and here's my issue with this is there is this huge stigma against GMO, and I don't really understand it. And even in our own atheist community, there's a huge stigma against them.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's on different sides.
Right. I mean, that is the one thing I disagree with Bernie on.
Uh-huh.
Is he wants GMOs labeled. I don't mind seeing GMOs labeled. We have different reasons for it, though.
Oh, right.
I want to know it so I know which ones to buy.
Right.
And he wants it so he knows which ones not to buy.
Right, because everyone still has that old, out-of-date, antiquated fear of, you know, what they quote GMO with, you know?
Right. So it just really frustrates me that people still use the antiquated idea. And what I think one of the biggest problems, especially from the ultra-liberal side of this, is that they equate it with Monsanto.
Right, which I think, you know, you should mention what you were telling me earlier, because that really clarified a lot for me.
Yeah,
because
Monsanto, yes, was a chemical company. Monsanto did some horrible things. And yes, Monsanto has some horrible business practices now. Uh-huh. I'm not denying that. Uh-huh. But Monsanto is not the end-all be-all of GMOs.
Right.
Obviously. I mean, this company, what is it? J.R. Simplot has been around forever.
Right. Everyone just thinks
they're, yeah,
you know,
what they hear GMO and they think major conglomerate chemicals and they're believing all these bad science.
Well, and that's just the thing. Scientists are putting these together. Their intention is not to go see, can we harm as many people as possible? That's not why scientists right. get into the field of science.
There's no GMO cabal saying, hey, let's do this so we can destroy everybody. There's no huge money-making thing going on for GMOs. I mean, yeah, there's money involved. It does make more money.
But the fact that they can take something like, you know, the potatoes McDonald's uses, you know, and then take a potato that can take out the sugars and the cancer fighting or fighting the yeah. opposite of cancer fighting.
Yes.
And make it safer and healthier. Why wouldn't you?
Well, they fight GMOs every time they come around. GMO corn. They fought that because there was this flawed study that said that the new GMO corn, which is Roundup Ready corn,
okay,
caused cancer in mice.
Oh, uh-huh.
What they didn't look at was the study.
Uh-huh.
That particular study that they quote used mice that were more prone to hit cancer. And they dumped them with doses of this stuff that they would never see.
Right.
So, of course, it's going to cause cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a flawed study.
So, it's kind of like they only see and think of bad parts that happen.
Right.
Because not looking at the whole thing as a whole, the right. whole study. It's kind of like, you know, when people vote for politicians, some people, they only take, you know, the sound bites and right. they don't actually do the research and look them up for themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there's going to be some GMO that's going to go wrong. That's going to happen. But that stuff doesn't get released. That stuff doesn't get approved.
Right.
There's a reason the FDA approves stuff.
I was gonna say, that's kind of the point of the
FDA. It's safe and it works.
Right.
But here's the interesting thing that I just thought of.
Uh-huh.
The same people who are anti-GMO are usually homeopathic.
Oh, yeah.
So they use stuff that doesn't work.
Now, see, for me, I don't mind GMOs because technically I have a medical condition that without scientists making and modifying the foods that I need, my world would be a whole nother world.
Yes, it would.
So actually, it wouldn't be a world. So,
yeah, true.
You know, it's not all evil. I mean,
no, it's not.
I don't understand, you know, that aspect of it, I suppose.
Yeah. So, yeah, people need to get on board with GMOs really seriously.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing it to kill people.
No.
They're trying to help.
They're making lives better.
Yeah.
You get a better crop yield, less pesticides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less everything with better crops.
Well, I guess only time will tell.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yes, dear.
I have a new section.
Do you now?
Yes. I've decided we're going to do something every week.
Are you now?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Aside from the Potter Award, this one's a little different.
are you?
It's called I Can't Believe They Said That.
I thought you were going to say I Can't Believe It's Not Butter.
Yeah. Spread.
Spread. Anyways.
You old people will get that.
Anyways, so you plan on doing this every week?
Yeah, because I can always find someone who said something really stupid. I mean, we're in a
election system. I was going to say, we're in serious stupid time right now, so yeah.
I think for the next, I don't know, 9-10 months, it's going to be a lot of election stuff. Because they say some really stupid stuff.
Not to get off topic, but you see the new one that's in the topics now? Sarah Palin riding the train?
Oh, no, no. That's next week.
Anyways, maybe. All right, tell me about it. Go.
So, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump.
Of course.
Joked about that he could shoot somebody in New York City, but still not lose what he called his loyal supporters.
Wow.
And this is a direct quote. I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? Trump said to the laughter at a rally he held at a Christian college in Northwest Iowa. It's like incredible.
Wow.
So yeah. Can you believe I
get that. I can't believe they said that.
Yeah. Not only did he say that, he also put his fingers in the shape of a gun and acted out pulling the trigger.
Damn, really?
Yeah. So I don't know.
I know, and we don't usually cover, you know.
Well, that's why I decided to do this section.
So popular.
Because now we can instead of doing just a Potter Award, right?
Right.
Now we can look at these popular candidates and popular people.
Yeah.
Okay, this person said something really stupid.
Actually, I like this idea because I like the idea of pointing out when someone says something damn ridiculous, but also it also brings in, you know, the larger things that are going on that right. We usually tend to not do so much because we know that everyone's flooded with that anyways, and we kind of pull in the not so known stories, but I like that we tap into that as well.
Right. So,
and there's, you're right, there really is so much to feed on.
At least for the next year.
Right.
You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? You know, this is me. You remember me? George Bailey.
That's right, folks. We have a Bailey Award winner this week.
Yay, we're doing a Bailey.
Yeah.
Trying to do that once a month?
Yeah, trying to. It's been...
The Potters are so much easier.
Yes, I know. It's been a while.
It was, what, December? I think we did the end of December.
It was the first week of December.
No, I thought it was the end of December.
Either way.
Oh, whatever.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Anyway, a police officer in Gainesville, Florida had a lot of new fans thanks to the way he handled noise complaint about kids playing basketball too loudly outside.
Okay.
Dash cam video shows Officer Bobby White pull up to the kids playing in the street and get out of his patrol car. But instead of telling them to stop playing and go inside, he joined in on the fun.
Oh, uh-huh.
Quote, I'm glad to see y'all doing this than out there causing problems. Officer White told the group while showing off his moves. The officer is seen dribbling and shooting the ball. He even made a great alley-oop pass before throwing down a dunk of his own while in uniform.
That's nice. I like that. Not pulling out a gun first.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Eventually, other kids in the neighborhood saw what was happening and joined in on the fun. Officer White then had to get back to work. He promised to play with them again. He said, you play here every day? Okay, I'm going to bring some back up out here tomorrow and we'll get a game going.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Gainesville Police Department said its officers will always let kids be kids so police can focus on the ones that commit crimes. The department now hopes Officer White's actions inspire other police officers across the country to do the same in their communities.
It's about time. I mean, because if you think about it, they're trying to, you know, show a little better face than what's been going on with police officers and just in general, let alone police officers and kids.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they definitely need to up their PR game.
Right. And I like the fact that they're addressing, you know, other officers to do the same across the country.
Right.
And yes, I'm interrupting you again, but I like the fact that instead of yelling and hauling them off or, you know, whatever, chasing them away, they're encouraging. It's almost like working with criminals. Not that these kids
beat
are
up the microphone. It's
sorry,
fine.
I can't help. I talk with my hands, but it's instead of like inhibiting criminals to be better criminals, it's almost like working with them and rehabilitating them, but not to that extent. But this is like a small taste of that.
So
in my
this
point.
Reminds me of the way it used to be. You had
yes,
you had neighborhood cops
right
back in the 50s and 60s. Everybody knew the neighborhood cop.
You weren't afraid of them. It was a good thing.
You didn't have parents telling you, if you don't behave, I'll call that police officer on you. Worst thing you could tell your kids.
Right.
Because then you make them afraid.
Right.
But this shows that concept. And maybe we need to get back to that, where the neighborhood cop, and people know the neighborhood cop. They're not afraid of the neighborhood cop.
Right. It's because he's your friend. Right? And that is what is sorely needed. I mean, that's a huge part of what's going on. I mean, with adults as well as kids, when it comes to, you know, police officers and stuff, it's looked at negatively instead of, you know, you want your children to know where the police officer is, or when you see him, to go to him, you know, stuff like that.
Right. But we're not done with this.
Oh, okay. Because
like the Potter Award, I like to do a little bit extra.
Excellent.
And someone else huge, and I do mean huge, did a little bit extra.
Okay.
Well, that same group of kids got a surprise visit from former NBA star Shaquille O'Neal.
Seriously.
The former NBA star decided he wanted to help out after he saw the video of Officer Bobby White responding to the complaints. On Saturday, Officer White made a good that promise, rolling up with several of his police buddies and the surprise big man.
Cool.
He said, "Told you I was going to bring some backup, right? You guys ready?" White asked the kids. "Look at these big guys I brought you. You sure you can take them?" And then Shaq gets out of the car.
That's really cool. And the kids
were just delighted.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
The police department wrote on his Facebook page that these kids will never forget the day Shaq rolled up to their house to play ball.
Right. And they had a good relationship with police officers.
Yeah.
Instead of growing up to be older teens who get in trouble with the law.
Exactly.
I mean, that could have just made a serious impact on them.
And I think it did. I mean, that's why these guys, including Shaquille O'Neal, get the Bailey Award. Because they went above and beyond on that one.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely worthy of both of them.
Yeah.
Because it was really cool. And I really do think that's going to make a big impact in their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, for just such a little gesture, you know?
And on that high note, yeah, I think we'll see you guys next week. Secular Yakking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. SUN is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about the SUN and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.